Hello friends, this is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF. We pray you'll take time out of all the busyness of your life and your day to gather with us around the Word of God. And if you're not a Christian today and you're hearing this broadcast, we certainly would love to have you to be our special guest. Maybe the things that we are studying right now would help you to understand why some of the things are occurring that just absolutely boggle our mind. Psychologists, sociologists, social commentators, educators, scientists, people are trying to figure out what is making men and women do the things that they do. We hear of horrendous things occurring. Some of them make big headlines, like the recent Boston Marathon bombings. Others are not as big headlines, but just as atrocious, when mothers can torture and kill their children, when someone is abusing sexually or otherwise a little child. How can this kind of evil exist? Where did it come from, and why would men and women become this kind of monster? And you look at people that could be a neighbor to any one of us that find themselves doing terribly evil things. And I don't want to start off with a negative, but I am a realist. I don't bury my head in the sand and pretend that something isn't terribly amiss and terribly wrong, and it is peculiar to our generation. No other generation has seen the things that we are seeing occur in the human family. And I just pray today that through God's help and grace, that we can get a hold of a faith that will take us through these last perilous times that we are in, and prepare us for the very soon coming of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I can't wait until He comes to reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But until He comes, I need grace. I need understanding. I need something to give me hope down in this fallen world. So please stay tuned today. And if you're not a Christian, maybe this will help you to understand why the Christian faith is so precious and so pertinent right now to everything that's going on in my world and yours today. We're all being affected by it. So be our guest today. And let's go to the Word of God together in just a few moments. Our subject matter that we are pursuing right now in teaching, in these sequential teachings, is following the God of light in a sin-darkened world. Following the God of light in a sin-darkened world. We want to invite you to come to our website just briefly before we begin our Bible study today. While you are turning, if you have your Bibles, to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. If you type in THCOG, that will take you to the Holy Church of God, Tampa, Florida, where I have been the senior pastor for now working on our 40th year. And there's over 1,300 sermons that were recorded live in church services. There are recent editions of Let's Talk About Jesus. There's inspiring Christian videos, music videos that will just help you worship God. And there are Bible helps and the Bible in different languages. We just want to be a blessing and to spread God's good news in a bad news world. Praise God. So we welcome you to come. Everything is free. There are no strings attached. Because of the benevolence of others, we are able to do that. So we're grateful to the Lord today to be able to come to you with a message of hope and to encourage you, if you are a Christian, to follow the God of light in this sin-darkened world. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, that a light will shine into your heart today. Nothing I can say can make a difference unless I tell you what He has said in His Word. You know, Psalmist David said, "Thy Word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet, and it is a light to my pathway. It illuminates that darkness in our life, and we can see things we never saw before. And God wants to show you His Son and His great salvation plan. Praise God. Amen. Let's read this. Following the God of light in a sin-darkened world. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5 says, "This then is the message that we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all." I made a statement last week, and in review I want to make it again. Our faith, our Christian faith, rests on God's person, not just His power alone. Not just His promises in His Word, but His person, who He is. That's what makes the promise meaningful, and that's what makes us know without a shadow of a doubt that He's going to keep His promises to us, is because we begin to discover something about the person who made the promise to us. Not just His power alone, not just on what He can do, but who He is. There is no darkness in Him. He doesn't lie because He chooses not to, but because He cannot lie, according to the Scripture. And the reason He cannot lie is because there is no darkness in Him. You know, the Bible said of Satan that he's a liar, that he's the father of lies. He was a liar from the beginning. He said, "Thou shalt not surely die," when he tempted Eve in the garden, and he lied about that. He'll lie to you and tell you that you could never be free of your addiction. But Jesus said, "The thief came to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come to give you life, and I've come to give it to you more abundantly." And He said He was anointed to set the captive free, to set at liberty those that are bruised. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. This is real, genuine deliverance and freedom. That's what Savior means. It means a deliverer has come. He saves us from our sins. He delivers us from Satan's snares and prison house of darkness. He came anointed to open the eyes of the blind. And yes, there was physical eyes that were healed. Blind Bartimaeus is one of the most well-known miracles that Jesus wrought in the New Testament. He heard a crowd coming. He couldn't see, and he heard of Jesus' power. And he said, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." He yelled out, and the disciples tried to quiet him down, and he yelled all the louder, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Bring that man to me." And he opened those blind physical eyes. But when Jesus said in the temple, when he read from the prophecies concerning the Messiah, the Anointed One, that said he was anointed to open the eyes of the blind, he was not talking about the physical blind eye. He's talking about spiritual blindness. You know, the Bible said the God of this world, Satan, that fallen angel that brought that tempted man and brought the curse upon this earth, that the God of this world has blinded the minds of men, lest they would see the glory of the gospel and be saved. And Jesus came to give light in that dark place, to bring light, the light of His truth, into this sin-darkened world. I remember when my blind eyes, I was raised by a Christian, in a Christian home. My mom and dad divorced, and I got bitter and went into rebellion. But my dad was a very dedicated Christian man. And I was raised in church and Sunday school, but I was lost, and I needed to get saved. And I was on the wrong path, and I needed to discover the right path. And I was blind until my eyes were open, till the Holy Spirit illuminated my life and my eyes, and I saw my lostness and my need for a deliverer, and at the same time, He showed me Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Upon this rock, Christ said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. What was that rock? It's the revelation, that illumination of our need for Christ and how Jesus is the answer to our greatest need. Not just for salvation in the hereafter, but for fulfillment and help, consolation, comfort in the here and now. Praise God. I don't want to ever think of living one moment without Christ in my life. It gives me courage to face life as it is in this fallen world, and it gives me courage and consolation that when I draw my last breath, I'll take my next breath in His presence and live with Him forever in a new heaven and a new earth. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Friend of mine, I want you to know today, there is a life-giving light. The Bible says to us Christians, after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions because now you are out from under the influence of the prince of darkness. The God of this world can no longer blind you, and therefore He can no longer bind you. Praise God. Amen. There's nothing that He can do to keep you from being set free because His power compared to God's power is absolutely not even worth going into the theology of it. It is inconceivable because it is impossible that the enemy could stop anyone that wants to be free from being free if you look to Christ for your freedom. Hallelujah. Today I'm talking to somebody that's listened. You've hung around to this Bible study. You've went into it this far with us. And the enemy will tell you that you are too addicted or you need this sin too much. It could never be broken. There's no point in even considering following Jesus. Honey, I want you to know something. Whom the Son sets free, the Bible said, is free indeed. You don't have to break those chains yourself. There is a mighty Savior that can set you free. He was anointed to set the captive free, to set at liberty those that were bruised, to open the eyes of the spiritually blind. Praise God. Amen. So the Bible said of Him that of God and of Christ, therefore, that He is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. There's no darkness in Him. He is absolute, pure, and perfect truth, pure and perfect light. James 1:17 bears this out once again in review. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither a shadow of turning. Praise God. God doesn't change, and He cannot lie. He's absolutely truthful, and therefore He is absolutely faithful. Praise God. I want to read now from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 13 through 16. Listen to it carefully. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth or giveth life to all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep His commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in His times He shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Praise God. Amen. Who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach to, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. How absolutely incredible is it that we as New Covenant believers, when you come to Christ as your Savior, you partake of that New Covenant, praise God, that we can come into the presence of this God who dwells in light so pure that no man can approach. Hallelujah. Amen. That no man can approach. And yet, we are bid through the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus to come into His presence, to come boldly before the very throne of grace. Hallelujah. I understand it's spiritual. I get that. But we who live in faulty bodies in fallen worlds now can be so set free from the curse of sin and of Satan's blindness that we can come into this presence of this holy, pure God and be accepted by Him, embraced by Him. We can call upon Him and He will hear our cry. He actually calls us His sons and His very daughters, adopts us into His royal family. Oh, friend of mine, God has a plan to not just save you in the end, but to set you free right here and right now, to make you pure enough for Him and Jesus to indwell by His Spirit. Praise God. You know, the disciples, everywhere they went, they had a problem with people pushing and shoving to get to Jesus. Many of them needed to touch His garment and healing power would flow from Him. So everywhere He went, there was this crowd, this throng of pushing, shoving people. It was like Black Friday at Walmart. It was a terrible situation. I mean, the bargains may be good, but is it really worth it? But friend, they were pushing and pushing. And the disciples had heard Him talk about being intimate and personal with them. And they said, Lord, how is it? How is it that You're going to manifest Yourself to us and not unto the whole world, this pushing, shoving, grabbing world? And He said, if any man hear My voice and keep My commandments, I and My Father will come to him. And we will make our abode with him. That's a not just a cute little Greek term. It means we will make ourselves at home. Hallelujah. Praise God. When this God of such glory can cleanse me so clean in my spirit that He can come and indwell right beside my spirit within my body. Praise God. Amen. That's more than getting religion. That's more than just turning over a new leaf. This is new life in Jesus Christ. He that hath the Son hath life. Praise God. Because He has light. Light precedes this life that He gives. Praise God. And when our eyes are open to our sinfulness and we repent and we look for salvation, we look for a Savior who can help us in our fallen state, and the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus. Praise God. And we receive Him as our Savior. That's called illumination. And then light, when light floods our soul and our mind, we're not blinded anymore. We see the glory of the gospel. There's no sin of our flesh worth losing this offer of salvation and freedom. I'm going to tell you something about your sin, because I was a sinner before I got saved. I was lost before He found me. I've had enough time to indulge myself with the sins of the flesh. And I'm going to tell you something. I never found satisfaction. Mick Jagger's song back when I was a younger man said it very truthfully when he sang that pop hit, I Can't Get No Satisfaction. We can bring that forward back in the 80s when U2 came out with a song. This pop group from Ireland and said, I've been everywhere searching, but I still haven't found what I was looking for. Well, I'm going to report to you that I've been on that journey. I've been on that search. I've been where many people are today that Satan has blinded. Ah, but when I saw what I saw and received what I received, when I received Jesus Christ, I found what I was looking for. I was set free. Am I saying that I am sinlessly perfect? Absolutely not. My flesh is still weak, but I'm going to tell you something. There is no doubt who is my master now. You know, the Bible said before we came to Christ, we were of our father the devil, and we did his works. We did his bidding, some to lesser degree and some to more, but we were all under the influence of the evil one. And one of the great influences that he used to bind us is spiritual blindness. And Jesus said, I've come with an anointing to set the captive free, to set at liberty those that have been bruised. And how's he going to do it? By opening the eyes of the blind. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Listen, friend, today you may be in a deep, dark dungeon. And you may believe with all of your heart that there is no doorway, there is no tunnel, no passageway out of that place that you are in. You may not at this point be looking for a way out, but you know something is missing in your life. And you know in your heart of hearts, you are not prepared to stand before God without the covering and sin canceling power of the blood of Christ, to stand in our own merit, to try to weigh our good with our bad is not going to be good enough. I love the old camp meeting song that was so filled with correct theology. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Praise God. There's nothing like what God can do. It pays eternal dividends. It really pays off when we draw our last breath. We are sealed, hallelujah, by the Holy Spirit. We belong to Him. And we know, we without a shadow of a doubt, that heaven is going to be our eternal home. But before we get there, we have Him with us here. We have the freedom that He gives. Praise God. We have the help that He offers. We have one we can call on in the time of need, in the time of trouble. This God that dwells in unapproachable light, no man can approach. We are invited into His presence when we invite Him into our heart. Praise God. Amen. You know, in the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 6 verse 1 said, in the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah said, I was in the temple and I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and His train, the glory that attends His presence, we call it, it's named in the Old Testament, the Shekinah glory that just radiates from His purity and holiness. And he said, I saw angels. He was at a distance glimpsing this, or it would have burned his eyes out. He said, I saw the angels that minister in His presence, seraphim by name. And they had three sets of wings in order to minister in that pure presence of God that was being manifest, that He was glimpsing. And he said they had two sets of wings with which they covered their face, and two sets of wings with which they covered their feet. They were just to cover them in such a pure... These are celestial beings created by God to minister in His very presence, seraphim. And they had to be covered from the glory that radiated from Him. With two sets, they did move about, the middle set, but the top set and the bottom set of wings, that three-winged angels was just for the covering that they needed to minister in the presence of God. Even angels couldn't look dead on into that pure light. And you know what God did to reveal Himself to people just like you and just like me? And I know we're not angels. Listen what he said. Amen. The Bible said in John's Gospel, chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That was Christ, God manifest in the flesh, the second person of the triune God coming to earth and taking on flesh. And then it goes on to say, and we beheld that no man can look into, that even angels can't look dead into without a covering. And we beheld his glory. In other words, we beheld the character, the person, in an understandable, appreciable way that people like you and me could see in Jesus Christ. Why? That pure light and that glory shines so bright. Because we saw the absolute sinless one. Praise God. The absolute truth. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And you know the scripture said, if we walk in the light as he is in the light. Think of that, friend. We're invited to that place in our spiritual relationship to him. Then the blood of Jesus will cleanse us from all of that unrighteousness and iniquity. Praise the Lord. Friend, I don't know what kind of situation you were in, where you're pretty good or awful bad. It doesn't matter. We need to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus. For we're saved by grace. By grace and not of works. It's by grace through faith that we are saved. Not of works, lest any man would boast. And today I'm telling you, God loves you. How absolutely incredible it is that you and I could be invited into the presence of this powerful, pure, wonderful God of creation and salvation. And that when we invite his Son and our Savior Jesus into our heart, repent of our sins, he said, I'm going to come and my Father's going to come and we will make ourselves at home in his very life. Praise God. And if that doesn't fulfill you, the knowledge of God's presence with you and within you, and the knowledge that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, I don't know what there could possibly be that God could do that he hasn't done. And I don't know what I could possibly say except that God loved you enough to come in Christ and take your sins and mine and our punishment upon the cross. So people just like you and people just like me could have this wonderful hope, could have this wonderful help, could have this great salvation. And I'm going to invite you today, right where you are, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, I want to invite you right now. There's no prison so dark that his light cannot shine. There is no chain so strong that his powerful spirit cannot break. No prison that the doors cannot melt like burning flax, like wax. Why? Because this creator of heaven and earth is deeply in love with you and wants you to live with him forever and forever. To not to fear death when it comes, because it truly can only touch your body. It will never touch you. Praise God. Today, right where you are, today, I believe the Holy Spirit is lighting up your soul. I believe the blinders are being removed from your eyes, and I believe that you're beginning to see the glory of the gospel. Come to Jesus. Come to know him. Come to love him. Come and follow him. Come and find what all these people are still looking for. Ah, friend, and if you're a Christian today, rejoice in the God that has done this in your behalf. And live in this light, praise God. Live in this love and tell other people about it. Go to church Sunday where the Bible is being preached. Go to church Sunday with other believers and begin to rejoice and rediscover the joy of what it means to be truly saved. Well, our time is gone. Would you come back next week and let's talk about Jesus?